I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
Stand with us. It is cold outside, but it is warm in here, and we are going to have a cozy Sunday. This set is going to be awesome. So, but before we get into our worship, we're going to go over our vision statement as a church and as individuals, because we do this every Sunday. So if you're joining us for the first time, I'm not kidding you. We literally go over this every Sunday because it's that important. So let's read it together. We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. So what that means is if you're walking in here and you're saying, my life is a mess and I just need something, you're welcome. If you're walking in here saying, I've been a Christian for my entire life and whatnot, I would say to you, guess what? You're not perfect. You still have next steps to take. We all do. That's why none of us look down on each other. We're all just in process moving towards God, and it is beautiful because he makes us beautiful in his time. So let's, and then also I want to mention again, maybe you've noticed our totally different stage setup, or you haven't been here for a while and you're like, whoa, this is a weird stage setup. Well, this is basically just a symbol. Because if you notice, we're kind of a half circle, and you guys are the rest of the circle. It's a symbol saying that all of us are the worship team. It's not just the people on the stage. We're all here to worship God. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray, and then we are going to get into our songs today, because it is Christmas season. Not Christmas right now. Everybody's like, does he think it's actually Christmas right now? No. It's just Christmas season. So let's pray. Lord, we just welcome you into this place. God, we pray that as we sing to you, as we worship you, as we celebrate this season of your birth, God, may you come into our hearts, come into our lives, come into this building, God, and just inhabit our praise in such a way that when we leave, we're changed. So we welcome you here. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship.
Whom angels greet. shepherds watch a keeping. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and lamb are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels see. The bravest son of Mary. So bring incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own it. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts and this is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels see. Haste, haste to bring him home, the babe's son. Shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him not the babe, the son of Mary.
Draw me close to you, and never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your. You are my desire, and no one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way and bring me back to you. My desire. back to you. Oh. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Come
Thank you for being here today. Lord, thank you that you are our all-satisfying one. Lord, we've come to delight ourselves in you. Lord, I just lift up anyone today coming in and they're carrying heavy burdens. God, help us to cast our cares on you, your word says, because you care for us. And Lord, as we cast those cares on you, I pray for a peace which transcends all understanding. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, we've come here today to worship you, to adore you, to say our life is about something bigger than our kingdom. It's about serving you and your kingdom. God, just thank you so much that you inhabit the praises of your people. God, I pray that you would walk up and down the aisles of this church and put your hand upon people's shoulders and say, "Lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Your word says, "Be still and know that I am God." And Lord, we're just going to be still today and worship you and just trust you that you are sovereign, that you're in control. We love you, Lord. Would you please be seated in a spirit of prayer as we talk to the Lord? Let's remember that prayer is simply talking to God. It's a familiar and earnest talking to God. And when we pray, we always want to start off by focusing on the Lord. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Would you pray with me? Lord, you are truly great. Your power and goodness are beyond anything we can understand. We praise you today for all the amazing things you do and for being worthy of all of our love and honor. So let's just take a moment and just delight ourselves in the Lord. Let us just turn our eyes upon Jesus. Next is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Father, we are sorry for the times we've done wrong. Thank you for forgiving us when we admit our sins. Please cleanse our hearts and help us to turn from wrong choices and guide us to live in ways that honor you. Let us just take a moment and confess our sins to the Lord. Next is thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your never-ending love and goodness. Thank you for our family, friends, food, shelter, and all the ways you care for us. Help us to remember to always be grateful for your blessings. Take a moment and just tell the Lord a few things that you're grateful for today. Next is supplication. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you for guidance and wisdom in our lives. Help us to make good choices, comfort those who are hurting, and meet the needs of everyone who is struggling. Trust us, teach us to trust you in every situation. So maybe there's a specific need that you have today that you want to just bring before the Lord. Finally, let us lift up the community of Bern. Colossians says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Let us pray. Lord, we lift up Bern, Minnesota to you. Help everyone there to live in ways that honor you. Raise up people who share your love, kindness, and truth. Let that town be stronger in your light, hope, and goodness. So let us just lift up the area around Bern, Minnesota. Would you join me in praying the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to now watch the CCC News.
Good morning, CCC family. Pastor Kelsey here. And I wanted to let you know that as of December 21st, I will be retiring as youth pastor here at CCC. And this season of ministry has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. And serving this church alongside all of you has changed me in ways that I will forever be grateful for. Thank you for trusting me with your students, for cheering me along, for encouraging me with your prayers and just your support. I've felt your partnership more times than I can count. Over the past decade, I've had the privilege of watching God move in powerful ways. Students have given their lives over to Jesus. Families have been forever changed. Leaders have been developed, and just moments of worship that I will never forget. None of this happened because of one person. It happened because of a church who loves deeply and serves faithfully and just believes in investing in the next generation. My role, I know, is changing, but my heart for this church never will. This will always be my home for myself and my family. I'll be continuing to pray for you from the seats and encouraging you, whatever stage of life you're in. You guys, thank you for allowing me to serve. Thank you for your grace and your kindness and support, your laughter, just all the memories. I'm leaving this role full of gratitude, full of memories and full of love for you all. So I just wanted to say goodbye for now.
Hey, CCC family. Pastor Kelsey has been such an incredible addition to our church, and as she steps into this new chapter in life, we would like to honor her, and so we will be having a farewell party on the 21st after second service. We'll be having refreshments, some snacks, and we will also be having a card table where you can drop off a card that you've written to her. We just want to send her off into this next chapter with love and to honor the incredible legacy that she's built here through the middle school ministry and just through our church. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that will be on the 21st after second service. But as you know, this is the news. So if this is your first, second, or third time coming to CCC, you'll be handed a Connect card on your way into the service. If you could just fill that out and turn that back into the welcome desk, you'll be given a mug with some awesome gifts inside. We're a very relational church, and we would just love the opportunity to get to know you, because you are here on purpose, because God has a purpose for you. Coming up, we are in December now. So let's get talking about our Christmas package. We will be having a kids' Christmas program. This will be on the 14th during both services. You do not want to miss that. Also, our Christmas Eve services, they will be at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 5 o'clock this year. You have three services to pick from, so we would love to see you at one of them. Also, if you've seen out in the gathering grounds, we have our giving tree where you can stop by. You can pick up a card. This is for people in our community. If you'd like to give a gift, please bring that by the 14th here at the church. Also, our youth group on December 10th is going to be packing gift boxes for SEMCAC to donate. We would just love to give back to the community, to people in need. So if you would like to donate that, you can go to our youth website on our church calendar, and you can find the form where it has a list of things that you can donate and you can bring and give, so our students can pack those boxes and give back to the community. Also, for those of you that don't know, our very own Pastor Steve Larson, our head pastor, has written a book called The Four Keys to Mental Health. This book will be dropping in January where you can buy it, but also our church will be going through a sermon series called The Four Keys of Mental Health that you do not want to miss. Please keep your eyes on the screen while Pastor Steve talks about this book. Love you guys. Let's have a great Sunday.
If you have a brain, then you have mental health. The question is not if you have mental health, the question is, what is your current mental health state? And as I think about my life, there have been times when my mental health has been really good. There's also been times when my mental health has really struggled. In fact, for many years, I wrestled with depression and anxiety. And it really, I say I was kind of like stuck in a dungeon of despair for many years. But God started to teach me some tools and some principles that helped me get out of that dungeon. And our district of churches actually started to ask me to teach this material to newly credentialed pastors. And out of that teaching came my new book coming out this January 6th called The Four Keys to Mental Health. And I just wanted to let you know that you can pre-order that book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, Christian Book Distributor, Baker Publishing, just about any way that books are sold. And I wanted to share with you that Mark Batterson, the New York Times bestselling author, has endorsed the book, and he says, "Experience freedom and peace in a world that often stigmatizes those who wrestle with mental health issues." Dr. Jean Allen writes about the four keys, evidence-based mental health strategies in an easy-to-read format, incorporating relevant scripture passages that are meaningful and often challenging. Guys, mental health is not weakness. It's a part of being human. And I pray that God will use my story to help you and others around the world arise to a higher level of mental health in Jesus.
Those around you and welcome them to church. Are you hurting today because someone you love has hurt you? Maybe the relationship started off so good, but then it eroded quickly. And maybe you've tried several relationships, but they've all ended the same. Broken promises, broken homes, and broken dreams. And you don't understand what's going on. I mean, as a young person, you had this idea of what it meant to live happily ever after. But life has been anything but happy ever after. Let's face it, loving relationships can be hard. When you put two fallen human beings together, you're going to hurt one another. And hurting people hurt people. And maybe today you are struggling with the sting of that hurt. Or maybe you're a younger person and you're asking, how do I make love work? Well, what if the actual problem isn't what we think it is? Often the surface problem isn't the surface problem. It's symptomatic of something deeper. What if the core problem is that we define love wrongly? What if we have the wrong role models of love? Movies, actors, romance novels. And what if the issue behind the issue is that we truly don't understand what love is? So imagine it's Christmas and you're sitting around the Christmas tree and you ask the question, what is love? And you know, everyone goes around and shares their definition. And first there's Uncle Ed and he's in his bright red Christmas tree sweater. And he says, love is a feeling. And then he quotes that hymn of the church, you've lost your loving feeling. And then it's Aunt Edna's turn, and she's wearing that drugstore perfume. And she says, love is a brain chemical. It's just a chemical your brain makes. Well, then the kids chime in. Well, love is, I love pizza. I love licorice. I love SpongeBob. And you're like, wow, there's all these different definitions of love. I wonder what true biblical love is. And then you think to the Christmas story and you imagine what it would have been like to have been in Nazareth. And in Nazareth was a hardworking carpenter named Joseph. And he was a very hard worker. And he was betrothed to a woman named Mary. And this was a binding contract back in those day and age, that day and age, though they had yet to begin their life together. So you can imagine the shock Joseph must have felt when Mary said, I'm pregnant. And he knew it wasn't him, so he felt betrayed. And he was going to divorce her. But then an angel comes and says, no, Joseph, what has happened here is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has conceived in Mary, and she's going to give birth to a child named Jesus. And then you think about how that little baby grew up to be a man, and you think about that man, that God-man, Jesus, and you think, you know, the thing that characterized him above all else was love. And you thought, what if he's the role model of love? Not the romance novels, not the movies, not the actors. But what if I made Jesus my role model of love? And then it hits you. In Jesus, God answers the question, what is love? In Jesus, looking to Jesus, you see what love is. So you have this new role model in love. It's Jesus. And you start to think, okay, what are some questions that I can ask myself to daily make Jesus the compass of my choices? And the first question that you ask is, what does Jesus want me to do? Now, this little baby grew up and became a man, and later he said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Now, notice how important this is. Jesus says, if there's anything I want my followers to be known for, it's love. Is that what you're known for today? Is that my legacy is love? Is that what you're known for? Now you look at that and you're like, he says a new command. And you think, well, In the Old Testament, it tells us to love. What makes this new? Here's what makes it new. Jesus says, as I have loved you, you love others. In other words, it's new in the sense that he's the role model. He's the measure. He's the standard. So imagine today if you left here with Jesus being the role model of what it means of how to treat others. And imagine if you asked yourself, what would Jesus want me to do here? What would Jesus want me to say? How would he want me to act? Love is treating others the way Jesus would. You then think about Romans chapter 13, verse 8, which says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, notice it says, the continuing debt to love one another. Now, what does that mean? Now, obviously, we can never repay Jesus for the love he showed us on the cross. But what we can do is we can pay that love forward. In other words, Jesus lavished his love upon us on the cross. And then imagine getting up every day and asking, how can I share that love with others? It's kind of like a love challenge. How can I treat everyone I meet today as Jesus would? And then notice it says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now imagine a person breaking the law and getting pulled over by a police officer or being brought to court. And are you breaking the law of love? Am I breaking the law of love? Am I loving others the way Jesus would want me to? You know, I've done many funerals in the past almost 30 years, and here's what we remember. Here's what people remember. Love. Love for God and love others. That's, when it comes down to it, that is what life is all about. And love is treating the way others the way Jesus would. Love is as Jesus does. Love is as Jesus does. How would Jesus treat this person? So Pastor Bruce and his family went to this small village in Alaska. And at first, his two-year-old son, Nate, was kind of having a hard time adjusting. So something that comforted him was a safety blanket. Any of your kids have a safety blanket? And do you know what I'm talking about? And so little Nate would carry this safety blanket with him wherever he went. After about a year of being in the village, he flew to Seattle to give a talk at a missions commission conference. But before he left, he was in his room and he was packing the suitcase and all of that. And Nate was trying to talk to him and says, Daddy, are you scared? But he was just really focused on what he had to do. So he didn't really pay attention to Nate. So he then got on the plane and flew to Seattle and gave this talk in Seattle. And then later that night, he went to his hotel room and he unpacked his suitcase and he couldn't believe what was there. Nate's safety blanket. He's like, oh, this is terrible. So he immediately rushed to the phone and called his wife. And his wife said, honey, don't worry. After you left, Nate and I prayed. And Nate said to me, Mom, don't worry. Daddy's going to be okay. I sent my safety blanket with him. Imagine making love your greatest aim. Did you know that if you live a life of love, you cannot fail? But life minus love equals failure. So imagine if Jesus became our role model of love. Imagine if we didn't look to the romance novels or the movies or to all these other places. But what if our goal was, I'm going to treat people the way Jesus would treat people. So the next question is, how can I love those that are hard to love? Now, how many of you know someone who's hard to love? Why are you all looking at me? But there's, you know, I call these people EGR, extra grace required. But I mean, these people rub you the wrong way, right? Or maybe they've hurt you. Or maybe they've hurt a loved one. And you don't even want to be in the same room as them. And maybe at the holiday gathering, you stay in separate rooms. Well, if Jesus is our role model of love, what would he say? Let's read it. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Luke 6:27, But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Isn't that interesting? That is a very countercultural message in a culture that is taught, get revenge, settle the score. Jesus says, no, love your enemy. In other words, instead of seeking to settle the score, you pray for that person. Instead of getting revenge, you do good to that person. Instead of loathing that person, you love them. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in this message that is so important is that biblical love transcends feelings. And that's why I know it, reading this verse, because when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's not saying, well, have warm feelings for them. No, I mean, we can't just all of a sudden have warm feelings to someone that has hurt us. That is not what Jesus is saying. But what he is saying is love is a verb. Do kind things to them. Pray for them. Bless them. And let's face it, I can't do this in my own strength, and neither can you, but we don't have to. In Romans 5:5, it says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural love that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to love others, even when they're hard to love. You know, Pastor Ghassan Thomas was a pastor at a church in Baghdad after the fall of Saddam Hussein. And one night he faced a really scary situation. A group of bandits raided the church, and they left a warning on a cardboard box that said, Jesus is not the light, Allah is, and you've been warned. And it was signed, quote, the Islamic Shiite Party. Now, how did Pastor Thomas respond? Did he seek revenge? Did he meet their hate with more hate? No, he met their hate with love. And what he did is he loaded up a van with children's gifts and medical supplies and brought it to the headquarters of the Shiite party. And on it was a note that says, Christians have love for you because our God is a God of love. And this act tore down the wall of hate. And the Shiite leader apologized to Pastor Thomas and says, this will not happen again. You're my brother, and if anyone comes to kill you, it'll be my neck first. Who's a difficult person in your life? An enemy. And is God asking you to love them? Or are you treating them the way that the world treats people they don't like? See, who's our role model of love? Say Jesus. Jesus is our role model of love. If we want to know how to treat people, we look to Jesus. We ask, what would Jesus want me to do in this moment? And one of the things we would learn is that Jesus wants us to love those who are difficult to love. The next question is, what does this person need and how can I meet it? Now, you know, we're talking about Christmas and it's the Christmas season, but let's just jump ahead a little bit and think about Easter, specifically Good Friday. And what do we celebrate on Good Friday? We celebrate Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Now, on the cross, he wasn't saying, this feels good. But what was he doing? He was sacrificing his life for our good. And see, love is as Jesus does. Love is as Jesus does. Love is treating others the way Jesus would. Love is sacrificial living for the good of another. Love is a life of selfless giving. In fact, think about this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now notice that first sentence. It says, this is how we know what love is. Now, haven't we been asking all morning, what is love? This is how we know what love is, having warm feelings for another person. Is that what it says? No. It says love is sacrificial living. Love is sacrificing and serving for others. You know, I think one of the reasons there's so much hurt and trauma around love in our culture is we just don't understand what true biblical love is. True biblical love is treating people the way Jesus would treat people. True biblical love is living a life of sacrificial giving for the benefit of another. In fact, one of my favorite definitions of love is extending yourself to identify and meet the legitimate needs of the other and seek their highest good. And notice it says meeting their needs, not their greeds. But love is extending yourself. Think about how Jesus extended himself. He left the comforts of heaven to come to earth, being born in that manger. Love is identifying and meeting the needs of another. God knew that our greatest need was forgiveness. And that's why he sent his son on the cross. And again, this, I am by nature very selfish. Ask my wife. I am a selfish person. But the more I'm close to the Lord, the more he helps me to be unselfish. And again, we cannot live this way because as human beings, I think the core human problem is sin, and the middle letter of the word sin is what? I, selfishness. That's the core struggle. Think about how many marriages and how many families and how many businesses have been destroyed because of selfishness, right? But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where Jesus comes in, and he helps us to live a life of sacrificial living. You know, once there were two brothers who shared a mill and a field, and one of the brothers was single, and the other brother was married and had children. At the end of the day, they would both divide the grain evenly. But one day, the single brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that we divide the grain evenly. I have only myself to take care of. My brother has all those children to feed." So what he did is at night, what he would do is he would fill up some grain and sneak it over to his brothers and give it. Now, what he didn't realize is that his brother was doing the same thing. His brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that we divide the grain evenly. I have all these children who will take care of me in old age. My brother has no one." And one night they were doing this, bringing grain to the other, and they met eyes and they realized what was happening. And they embraced in love. Love is sacrifice. It's service. I think one of the reasons there's so much pain when it comes to the topic of love and so much hurt and trauma around it is we don't understand what biblical love is. In fact, the Life Application Bible says, our society confuses love and lust. Unlike lust, God's kind of love is directed outward towards others, not inwards towards ourselves. It's utterly unselfish. This kind of love goes against our natural inclinations. It is possible to practice this kind of love only if God helps us set aside our desires and instincts so that we can give love while expecting nothing in return. Thus, the more we become like Christ, the more we will show love to others. Over the years, I've had people come to me and they say, "Well, I want to leave my spouse because I don't have those feelings of love." And again, what we're saying today is that love transcends feelings. Love is not a feeling. It's a verb. In fact, think about God's definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Notice what it did not say. It did not say love is a feeling. So a man went to his counselor once and said he was thinking about leaving his wife because he had lost the spark. He had lost his feelings of love for his wife. And he didn't see the point of continuing in the marriage. And the counselor listened to him and responded, "Well, love her." And he's like, "Are you not listening to what I'm saying? I don't feel love for her anymore." The counselor said, "Well, then love her." And he's like, "Why, are you not listening to me? How do I love her when I don't have the feelings of love?" And the counselor said, "Well, love her." And he wasn't getting it. So finally, the counselor said, "Real love is action. It's choice. It's commitment. You act lovingly regardless of whether what you feel." And then he gave her, or gave him, some steps. Serve her. Listen to her. Show appreciation. Sacrifice. Do acts of kindness. And invest energy into the relationship. Love her. We're not prisoners of our emotions. Our emotions are indicators, not dictators. Yes, we acknowledge our feelings, but we don't live by our feelings. We live by the truth of God's word and the Holy Spirit. R.C. Sproul asked the question, are you a sensuous Christian? Now, what is a sensuous Christian? One definition defines it as pertaining to the senses or sensible objects, highly susceptible to influences through the senses. The sensuous Christian is one who lives by his feelings rather than through the understanding of the Word of God. The sensuous Christian cannot be moved to service, prayer, or study unless they feel like it. His Christian life is only as effective as the intensity of his present feelings. When he experiences spiritual euphoria, he is a whirlwind of godly activity. When he's depressed, he's a spiritual incompetent. He constantly seeks new and fresh spiritual experiences and uses them to determine the word of God. His inner feelings become the ultimate test of truth. His inner feelings become the ultimate test of truth. Well, as a Christian, we acknowledge our feelings, but one of the most important things I've learned in life is to unhook my behavior from my feelings. Yes, I acknowledge my feelings, but I unhook my behavior from my feelings, and I try to hook my behavior to the Word of God, to the truth of God, and often doing the right thing won't feel right. Often doing the wrong thing feels right, right? How many of you have ever eaten a gallon of ice cream? I mean, that feels good, right? Our inner feelings are not the ultimate test of truth. Jesus and his word are. So who is a person that God wants you to love this year? Maybe it's an enemy. Maybe it's someone who's difficult. Maybe it's someone that you have bad feeling towards. And God is asking you to love them. Now, again, we can't do this in our own strength. The Bible says God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And what I pray for is I just pray for a baptism of the Spirit of Jesus, a baptism into the love of God, that God will help us to love even our enemies, because ultimately, whatever we did to the least of these, we did to Christ. Father God, I pray that above all else, that you would help each and every one of us be known for our love. God, I pray, starting today, we can't go back and change yesterday, but we can start anew today. God, help us to make you, Jesus, our role model of love. That, God, we would constantly ask ourselves, what would Jesus want me to say? What would he want me to do? How should I act in this moment? God, help us to treat the difficult people in our lives, even the enemies, the way you would want us to treat them. Maybe it's praying for them. Maybe it's blessing them. Maybe it's doing something kind to them. God, I pray that you would help us to be sacrificial, to be servants. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be a servant. Oh God, help us to find out what the needs of those around us are, and in the spirit of love, meet those needs. God, I just pray for anyone today that maybe it's in their marriage. They're like, I don't feel love anymore. God, I pray that you would just remind them to sacrifice and serve their spouse, God, for your glory. Lord, help us to be known as a church, not for this beautiful building, not for all these other things, but I pray that above all else, that we, Community Celebration Church, would be known for our love, that we would reflect your love to this community, to this country, and to this world. We love you, Jesus. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. So we're going to be going into communion today. And in the message, I talked about how real love is sacrifice, right? And communion reminds us of that, that on the cross, Jesus Christ gave his life for us. The word communion comes from a Latin word, means sharing in common. And what are we sharing in common today? That we are people loved by God, and his sacrifice is what unites us. So today this is more about, more than just bread and juice. It's remembering that Jesus' love for us literally costs him his life. Now, if you have children, we would just encourage you to think about, do your children understand what this is about? If they do, they're welcome to join us. Maybe you don't, this isn't your church home. If you are a believer, if you've been genuinely born again, you are welcome to join us at the Lord's table. We do have some gluten-free wafers, and we use juice, not wine. But we're going to invite you to come forward. I think we're going to be putting a picture on the screen there to share with you where to go. But just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to point out anything in your life that you need to confess to the Lord. Is there some sort of sin, or maybe you've been selfish or whatever? That would be the time to commit to confess that to the Lord. Once everyone gets their elements, then I'm going to lead you through the participating in them. We're going to now partake of communion together.
And it's so good, I almost can't believe it. Far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The God who set the galaxies in motion would descend to give his life for me. For what could make perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king to pay so great a cost? And all my life, my heart will sing the answer. Only the love of God. Sing it, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days we'll sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. And it's so kind, leads us to repentance. It's so bright, the darkness has to flee. And hallelujah, it cleared my guilty sentence. For I was bound, but now I stand redeemed. For what could break the chains of any prison? What force could rob the power from the grave? And what would trade my rags for heaven's riches? Only the love of God. Singing, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. And though I try, my mind can't comprehend it. It's so high, too marvelous for words. And I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your word. This all my life, the banner I'll be waving, my anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise to walk the streets of the love of God.
Father, thank you for the sacrificial love of Jesus. As we take this bread and cup, draw our hearts back to the cross and remind us what true love is. Amen. So if you've never used one of these before, you push down on it, and then you're able to separate the top better, and we're going to partake of the bread, reminding ourselves that Jesus is the bread of life. Then the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the drink together. Lord, we thank you for the love that was revealed through your sacrifice. Help us to walk in that kind of love this week by the power of your Spirit. Amen. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with Mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him, baby Jesus, with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." What I want you to see is that before gifts were given to others, they first gave a gift to baby Jesus. And that's what we're going to do now, is we're going to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. And this is a way of saying, "Lord, you are first in my life. Thank you so much for your generosity." The ushers will come in a few moments. Here are some ways that you can give online. There's also some boxes when you leave. But let us now give our gifts and our tithes and our offerings to Jesus as an act of worship.
Singing, "Oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that rugged cross. For all our days we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God." And though I try, my mind can't comprehend it. It's so high, too marvelous for words. And I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your worth. This all my life, the banner I'll be waving, my anthem cry, no matter what may come. When I rise to walk the streets of heaven, I'll still be singing this song. For everything
worshiping with us today. I mean, if there is one message that I would want you to get, what I've talked about today is one of those messages. That often we have the wrong role models when it comes to love. The movie stars, the actors, the athletes, the romance novels. No, Jesus is our role model of love. Love is treating others the way Jesus would. Love is even loving those that are difficult, loving your enemy. It's not a feeling, right? We unhook our behavior from our feelings. We acknowledge our feelings, but we don't let them lead us. We are led by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then love, in its truest sense, is sacrificial. That's why the cross is the symbol of Christianity. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to pick up your cross. Love is sacrifice and service. We'll have friends up here to pray with you, if you'd like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week. See?